Over the years, scientists say eyewitnesses have only presented circumstantial evidence, making it impossible to confirm whether there really is a Bigfoot out there. But some swear by this audio recording. It's known as the Ohio Howl. You'll hear a dog barking and then an eerie, siren-like moan. It's the first documented recording of what's believed to be coming from a large male Sasquatch. It was recorded in Columbiana County, where residents say the howls can be heard late at night, echoing off hills on both sides of the Ohio River.
Sasquatch is a podcast about Bigfoot. It's recorded for the skeptics, the believers, the so-called knowers, and those who just have a casual interest in the subject. Information, visit sasquatch.com. Hi, this is Sasquatch, and I am Seth Breedlove. I'm joined by my pal, Mark Matsky.
Greetings.
And tonight, we are talking about Bigfoot in Ohio again. So this is our third part to the Ohio Bigfoot trilogy. Tonight we're going to go through some of the historical Bigfoot encounters and kind of go back and forth on our favorite historical Bigfoot sighting reports. Some of these are newspaper articles, some of them are eyewitness reports. I specialize in researching newspaper reports through newspaper digital archives, so that'll probably be what I stick to. Mark reads every book on Bigfoot ever written, so he'll be pulling from some of those reports, I imagine. Specifically, he's a big fan of the Don Keating. What's the Don Keating book called?
The Don Keating book is called The Sasquatch Triangle.
Okay.
And the tagline is Bigfoot Sighting and Track Discoveries in Eastern Ohio from 84 through 2000.
And Don Keating is the godfather of Bigfoot research in Ohio.
I'm not a scientist. I'm just a person who has an interest in the unusual.
Don Keating didn't always believe in Bigfoot, but that view has changed over the years. Keating is now the chairman of the Eastern Ohio Bigfoot Investigation Center. He says he continues to collect clues that he hopes will one day unveil the existence of Bigfoot.
It's a rather large animal. It walks upright on two legs just like humans do. And if you've seen something like that in the woods before, you would have no problem believing that, or understanding, I should say, that what you had just seen was possibly one of these creatures.
Bigfoot is
and he's kind of the guy that put Bigfoot research in Ohio on the map, I think, to begin with. So
yeah.
He's also the guy that originally started the Ohio Bigfoot Conference that Mark DeWorth eventually took over. So, all right, I'm going to let you start us off with some Bigfoot reports.
All right. Well, the title of Keating's book, as you just heard, is Sasquatch Triangle, and roughly the points on the triangle that we'll use and that he uses in the book, and there's even a map that details this, is one point. The northernmost point is in Tuscarawas County. Newcomerstown functions as that point. Going down to Guernsey County is Salt Fork State Park. And over in Coshocton County, Coshocton itself, the third point on the triangle really is south of Coshocton proper. And so on the map he details sightings, prints, and sightings and prints together. And so the greatest concentration of all of those segments is in southeast Coshocton County and in southern, the extreme southwest tip of Tuscarawas County, and then of course northern Guernsey County, which would include Salt Fork. Mm-hmm. A lot of the sightings that Keating talks about, the interesting thing, and it's really neat about this book, is that he received the reports himself or went after them. So this isn't just a rehash like some Sasquatch material becomes after a while of the classic cases. This is extremely specific to the reports that he's been given. One of those goes back to 1966. In 66 there was, this is the strange thing about this is that it seems to be not out in the middle of the wilderness, really, but there's more of a suburban feel to this. It says, I was working on East State Street in the summer. I was on the midnight shift. A few of us had gone outside to take a break. This is 2 a.m, and a few of them came back in and said we saw a large hair-covered creature walking on two legs behind the plant near the river. And Keating says this is the first report that he really had, and it was his mother who gave that report. So I thought that his mother Sandy related the story to him. Huh. So I don't know. He never says that. Well, this kick-started me into Bigfoot research, but I find it interesting that his own mom had a little experience of her own there, and then going on into the really fast forwards into the 80s. You know, he gets into a little bit of the juvenile Sasquatch reports that have come in Ohio. Mm-hmm. This is from 1984, July 29th. The early evening hours, somebody went outside to check their cattle, and they were all accounted for. She started to walk away when she saw a black form at the fence. This is about 300 feet away from the eyewitness. It was pitch black in color, was on all fours. It was at least 5 feet tall. And the next two sightings that are included in the book are also from the 80s. One is 84 and 85. And again, we're talking about Bigfoot being sighted in meadowlands and around pastures and fields. Mm-hmm. You know, he saw a Bigfoot essentially walking down a path near one of their fields. He thought at first that it was a friend of his goofing around, and even called out to the creature and said, "I see you. You're taking the wrong path." And then he was with Don Keating at the time, and Don said, radioed back to this guy and said, "I'm not even near the spot where you are. You cannot be seeing me." So they went back and they did an estimate on the size and came up with 7 and 7.5 feet tall was the creature that was seen in that case. And the guy didn't want to go back to that site again. He did get over it, though, and he and Don Keating went out again. This is on January 5th, 1985, about 10 o'clock at night. They went to an open field, and it says, as they climbed a hill above an old abandoned house trailer, there was an eerie silence that settled over everyone. A few minutes later, they observed a large form move out of the wood line, took a straight path in front of them, stood there for a few minutes, and then walked back into the woods, and they estimated this guy at 8 feet tall.
Where it says, does it give you an area? Is that Coshocton or Yorksville? Or?
It's Coshocton.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's there is a power plant. Mm-hmm. Related to that story, which may actually be near Conesville, Ohio.
So probably the UFO that the Bigfoot dropped out of was hovering over the power plant.
You said you weren't going to go there. You said you weren't going to go there.
I can't. All right, I'm going to get into a couple here. These were pulled from, for some reason I didn't write down the newspaper, but I think it was actually a Sandusky newspaper. There was a series of sightings that started, this is June 7th, 1930, June 6th, 1930, something like that. It's called the Norwalk Ape, which is northern, kind of north central Ohio. It's up along the Lake Erie area. These sightings actually are the most documented that I have. They start on Norwalk Ape, June 6th. They start on June 6th, and they run all the way through, we have them running all the way into July, and I think the last one I have is August. So they run over a long period of time that summer. I'll just read the first story. It just says, it's a news flash. All it says is, large ape reported at Norwalk. Terrified residents of Norwalk today were barring doors and windows and afraid to leave their homes on the report that a large ape was seen running wild near the Memorial Hospital. So this is an interesting series of events. It has kind of everything you love in a good horror story, including an armed posse that chased it into the woods. I have a photo of the posse, and it's every bit as wonderful as you would think. It's a bunch of men and women armed to the teeth. It's the only thing it's missing is like jugs of moonshine in people's hands. Other than that, it's exactly what you want. They're sitting on cars, and they're about to go kill the giant ape that's been terrorizing the city. If you look up Norwalk ape, you might not find it. You could look up Sandusky ape, and it's going to be the same thing. But this all took place in the city of Norwalk or the surrounding area. And what's interesting about that area is it is very wooded, and especially back then, it was very wooded with a lot of water running through it. And it still is fairly wooded today. But this is one of my favorite just because it goes, it's such a long period of time. And I talked in the last episode we recorded about the ape in, let me see, they called it this, well, Coshocton area, but Roscoe ape was the first story. That's another great one. I told you that ran over a few stories.
Yeah.
A few different articles. But the Norwalk ape is a great one. Another one that I am currently documenting in the Ohio Bigfoot Conference Facebook page is the Oberlin Monster. And this is just your classic 1970s Bigfoot sighting. It's a hair-covered creature. Something I've noticed is during the early 70s, whenever there was some sort of monster sighting, I don't know why this is, but have you noticed that when they describe it physically, it's basically just a mass of hair? Like, they can't see eyes. Maybe they see two glowing eyes, but other than that, they can't make out any physical facial features. It's basically just this mass of hair. And it's the same thing when you look at this Oberlin Monster. It was the same thing with the Momo Monster and the Big Muddy Monster. They're all similar in that way, and I find that really curious, very interesting. But these are just Ohio sightings. So, folks, when we get into like some of the countrywide sightings, it could be pretty cool to go through some of those, because there's a Monroe Monster that was similar to this, Monroe, Michigan, and Big Muddy. The Big Muddy Monster is one of my favorite stories. There's also a tale of the Steubenville ape, and likewise, this one ran over about a few days. It wasn't any long period of time, but it was about 4 or 5 days. This one was cool because they actually referred to it in one of the stories as a Tarzan. The story actually says Tarzan eludes Ohio posse men. The rural neighborhood here continued apprehensive tonight as posses continued a search for an animal believed to be an ape, which was reported roaming the woods near here. The posses reported finding tracks that resembled those of an ape. They expressed a belief the animal was living on berries, nuts, and small game, and hid in the woods during the day, but came around the river at night. So, again, there's a mention of a water source and all that stuff. And people typically love to talk about the wild men sightings.
Reports of the grassman date back as far as 1869. On January 23rd in Galea County, a man and his daughter were enjoying a stroll when a wild man leapt at the father. After a long and violent struggle between the man and the beast, the daughter picked up a rock and threw it at the creature, striking it in the head, allowing the man and his daughter to escape. They described the creature as gigantic in size, with burning eyes and being covered in hair. In the book, A Buckeye Boy...
I've kind of gone into this a lot on my blog, so I'm kind of burned out on the topic. But wild men sightings are hard for me to actually say this is a historical account of a Bigfoot, because typically wild man sightings, some of the actions and the physical attributes just sound like a dude that was living in the woods. There's things like clubs and mentioned and tool usage and things that we don't typically ascribe to Bigfoot sightings. There's accounts of of wild men rowing across lakes in canoes, which, I mean, I these things make it difficult for me to, you know, really say this is a historical Bigfoot sighting. Yeah. There are wild man sightings that do sound similar. I've found some where they even mention, like, large footprints found and strange cries in the night and stuff like that. And those I can somewhat say, well, this is possible. You know, this is possibly a connection here.
Yeah. Are they ever, like, partially clothed?
Yeah. You get a lot of partially clothed. And okay. You get a lot of ones where they're in a city. Like, there's a series of sightings in Maslin, Ohio, which isn't far from me. And there were a series of sightings down there in the late 1800s. And I even think I have a story somewhere where they killed whatever they're claiming was a wild man. But this wild man was coming into town at night and terrorizing women outside their homes and even inside their homes. And it just doesn't sound like what you would, you know, think was a Bigfoot. It sounds like probably a kooky guy, just a guy, you know, living off the land.
Well, and some of these could be bona fide mental illness.
Exactly. And
situations before people really knew how to deal with that.
I've written about that a little bit too. There was some of the phrases used to describe mentally handicapped, and I mean, I hate to get into it, but even racism, the racism that was pretty prominent back then, and that can play into it too. Without saying too much, a lot of times you have to be careful when you're reading the word ape in these stories, because they might actually be referring to a human being.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I found that, especially on the West Coast, there was a famous series. There was a famous woman that she was an actress. She was killed in Los Angeles. And I was reading these stories trying to figure out what the heck was happening, because it was talking about this ape that had attacked her in her house, and it turned out it was referring to an African-American man who had broke into her home and killed her, and this went across about 8 different articles. So you really have to watch. Wow. Yeah, you have to really watch when you're researching, especially in that. It seems like it dies off around 1930, so you're safe after that, but those early ape reports you really need to watch. When I posted one of the first Coshocton stories, someone said, well, this is just racism. And I actually don't believe that's the case, because what those stories are referring to is a 7-plus-foot-tall ape. And when it refers to hair and hair-covered creature and all that stuff. But you have to be careful researching this stuff, because you can accidentally be ascribing, you know, Bigfoot to what might be something cultural, you know, a cultural aspect of those you know, periods of time that we're no longer a part of. So, anyway, these are some awesome historical sightings from Ohio. I love this stuff. We could do like 4 or 5 episodes like this. I could really get into some of these.
But yeah, no doubt. I have one really fast one.
Yeah, bring it.
Okay, this was 1973 near Dublin, Ohio, which is a northwestern suburb of Columbus. And so the thing to keep in mind here is that today, that's all part of the Columbus sprawl, but back in the 70s, that was pretty much the outer belt. I mean, Dublin, after you got past Dublin, and it's still this way to a certain degree, it's just fields. Mm-hmm. But this one is in relation, it doesn't name the golf course, but I got a feeling that it's probably the golf course that the Memorial Tournament is played on. It's Jack Nicklaus's hometown, and he has his tournament down there at Muirfield Country Club. So this is a report. This is Ron Schaffner gathered this report. So it's two security guards. They're overlooking the golf course, and it's super brief. It's just a bulleted thing, but it says, "Large Bigfoot seen on golf course, 12-inch footprint later found." So I find it interesting that it takes the step of saying that it's a large Bigfoot, as opposed to, you know, the more petite Bigfoot that you could get around Columbus, I guess.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes that interesting to me is that it is on one of those, and especially back then, that would have been on one of those perimeter areas where, you know, you're essentially within miles of a major metropolitan area. But it's that transition point between the metropolis and the country. And that's where it seems like you get a lot of these sightings of all types of mystery animals where the where civilization meets the wild. And so I just thought that was interesting. It does, like I said, it doesn't name Muirfield Country Club, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the course where security guards would be watching over a golf course or maybe the building of that course. And there's some other sort of Indian legends that have to do with that particular course.
There's a lot of sightings of Bigfoots on golf courses in general.
Yes.
There was a sighting near here, well, not too near here, but in Carroll County on a golf course in Carrollton. And I actually was at the meeting where the people told their story. Their son had seen a Bigfoot cross a road right beside the golf course and actually go into the golf course. And the next day, these people found a track in the middle of a sand trap.
Oh, and, wow.
It was actually in the middle of the sand trap. It was one track. And they said it would have been impossible to get from for a human to just stride into the sand trap and out. I think they said it was like 18 feet from one side to the other. So whatever it was had to make a a 6 foot stride or something like that. Not a 6 foot stride. 8 foot. Good grief. 9 foot stride from one end into the middle and then out the other side. So they found one track, they casted it, and I got to see it, and it was interesting. But I know there's actually been quite a few golf course Bigfoot sightings. So apparently they're Tiger Woods fans.
Yeah, it is kind of fascinating, though, because that if the Bigfoot was interested in observing human beings, that would be, in a sense, a perfect place for them to hang out. Because they could drop back in the woods and they'd have an unobstructed view of these people puttering around in little carts and things. And to really be, and no one would be really looking for something strange in the woods unless you hit your ball in there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I had never really thought of that until this moment.
Now you did.
I'm putting my clubs away.
What are you talking about? You need to be digging your clubs out.
Maybe that'll be my new... I will pioneer the research methodology of hitting my ball intentionally into the woods just to see what happens in there.
So you could tell people you're hitting two birds with one stone. You're going out with... you're golfing, but you're actually going Bigfoot research.
Yeah. This is my Sasquatch slice. 200 yards into... the underbrush. Help me look, guys. Come on.
All right. And with that, we're going to wrap up this week's Sasquatch. We'll be back.